Soul Butter, a tiny talk about big things. So much talk, so little makes sense these days. What do you do when something much wiser than the mind you used to get through a day starts talking to you? A voice beyond what's familiar. And how can you make it work for you beyond the spin of this world? Start listening today. Join Susan Gabriel from the Inside Out with special guests, songs, students, and stories as we introduce Soul Butter, a tiny talk about big things. Light Notes from the Sue's Muse. Welcome to this edition of Light Notes from the Sue's Muse. That would be me, Susan Gabriel. This week we go around in sound all the way to explore Annapolis, Maryland, where we meet Linnell Bowen. Hi, Linnell.
Hi there.
Not only a pillar of her community, but a legend in her own town. Linnell has been recognized as a powerhouse behind the arts in Maryland in pragmatic ways that only some people dream of. Chosen more than once among the top 100 women in the state, recognized recently on International Women's Day 2024 for her contribution of time, energy, and resolve to bring the arts closer to students, closer to families, closer to community, and throughout the community, and her energy to support historic preservation. So, here we are in the epitome of that commitment. This is Maryland Hall, where Linnell was executive director over the arc of its formative and future years on into the decades. Linnell, if these walls could speak, what would they tell us about you?
They would tell you that I went to high school here. And I love the school, I love the building, I love everything about it. And then I taught U.S. history here. So that's my cultural background, my preservation background. And when they saved it to make it Maryland Hall for the Creative Arts, I thought that was just brilliant. And it has grown and become a pillar of our community for all the arts. But the thing I like the best is that it teaches. It teaches young people.
Tell us more about how you got started as a teacher and how your desire expanded to historic preservation and the devotion to the arts that you embody.
Well, I started out with Historic Annapolis. You know, in Annapolis, preservation is a religion. Mm-hmm. And I sort of agreed with that, and I worked with that for a long time, especially in history. I taught history here, down the hall in room 205, and learned so much about Annapolis, because in 1794, the Capitol was moved here.
Really?
So I was chairman of the Annapolis 300 Committee. And we celebrated the moving of the Capitol here. It was a Capitol celebration. And we had so much fun, and we learned all about this cultural center. Annapolis became the cultural center. And it still is for this state, even though it's small, it's tiny.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a lot to do with that. I've seen that just in the short time that I've been on location here. And the one thing I've noticed is that whenever I have sort of followed you around, I'm guilty of that. You'll see some photos, those of you that go to YouTube to see the rest of this. You are always focused on how the arts is benefiting children. And your view of how that's working and what you did to help make that happen in this culture center. And also the value of history. So the value of the arts to children and the value of history and your hand in it.
Well, you start with the standard that Annapolis is a cultural center. And so everybody should learn to appreciate that. I mean, what little town has a symphony, a ballet, a chorale, and an opera? I don't know of any. And I mean, when I say little town, it is a little town. And when I was young, I enjoyed all of that. And so I just felt other children, schools, the whole system, you have to be exposed to the arts or they'll die. And that was my mission, not to let them die.
Mm-hmm. Also, you have to be exposed to fundraising, and you happen to be an expert at that. It's a very competitive business these days, as everybody knows. Philanthropy is now big business. How have you succeeded as well as you have?
I think I've been lucky, but I had something to sell. I had the major product, art. I had a symphony about it. All the parents wanted their children to enrich their lives. So Marilyn Hall just grew and grew and grew. And that's how we did it. And I still haven't reached everybody in my community yet, but I'll get there.
I believe it. I believe it. Anybody that knows you knows that you will get there. And you have, and that brings up something else that I've noticed. This woman has fans everywhere. People tap you like royalty. What is that like for you to be so revered and so valued all over town?
Well, I somehow think you're exaggerating, but other than that,
no
I'd
way.
Like to be modest about it. But when you're on the stage and you're introducing a performance, it's just kind of exhilarating, and you reach 700 people at a time. So as many people that came through the doors here, that's how I did it. And I've been here a long time, and when you're there a long time, and the graduates in my class, Annapolis High School, have been very supportive. Mm-hmm. And because it was their community school, they didn't want to see it torn down. Mm-hmm. And that to me is one of the greatest benefits. This building will not be torn down.
Mm-hmm. Again, you have so much to do with that. I heard Bob Woodward ask the governor of Maryland this question, and I find it to be one of the coolest questions in contemporary journalism, if there is such a thing. What is your invisible power? The power that we don't see, where does that come from and what is it?
Well, I attribute it to a lot of things, but basically you have to be enthusiastic. Thoreau said, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And I have a passion for the arts, all the arts, especially with the little kids, not just the adults and the wonderful performers. But I do think you have to have a passion. And I have a passion, and I shared it with people, and they share it with me. And I mean, artists are wonderful teachers. And this building was an empty building, and all the artists got together, and it was before my time, and said, we need a home. Mm-hmm. And it became their home. And the artists were teachers, and some of them, you know, are very quiet and shy, but they have a passion for what they do. And I think it's a passion.
Have you always had this passion? In other words, you started as a school teacher, right? That's how your life began. She's also a mother and phenomenally present wherever you go, I must say. But the passion is something you can't manufacture. You know, you're kind of born with it, don't you think? You had a passion for teaching that led to all these other forms, is that correct?
Well, I think when you have a passion, I took piano in the fourth grade and I just fell in love with mm-hmm. him. I fell in love with my teacher mm-hmm. and he had a passion. So then he made me learn how to play the saxophone and then
really?
We did the clarinet and then I was in the high school band here. And the band director here founded the Annapolis Symphony Orchestra. He was that good.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a passion for music. So I just loved it all and enjoyed it. And my years here at Maryland Hall, I went to every performance. I saw more nutcrackers than there are nutcrackers, but I still enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I still think it has a message for us. And the arts make us more human. And it's such a value to our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so glad there's a Maryland Hall in my community.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, say more about that, that the arts make us more human. Again, is that something you always felt, or is that something you discovered through your own experience and then through watching how it affected kids and people around you?
Well, I just think as a teacher, I love to see people learn. Mm-hmm. And people don't always learn, and sometimes it's hard with teenagers and middle schoolers. But when you strike something that they question or they like, you can see them learn and you can see why they enjoy it. And I think we have to enjoy education or we're doomed. And the arts give us enjoyment.
Where do you think our world needs help at this point?
Well, obviously our schools need help, and COVID didn't do anything but set us back because the kids were excluded, but they learned new skills and Zooming and Zooming meetings and Zooming and the telephone. So we have to connect. And I really felt after missing out on 2 years of my life, when I got back to live music, mm-hmm. live music, live art matters. And that's what we need to push now, live art.
Mm-hmm. And of all the arts, which one do you think, which form do you think is most critical? I have a feeling I know what you're gonna say, but which one, speaking of live?
Well, I just think they're all important. Yeah. It turns you on. I mean, we taught wood turning.
Yeah.
You'd go, wood turning, what's that? And you should have seen these people and these kids, which they had to be trained, mm-hmm. what they learn from participating in this. Mm-hmm. Finger painting, they just learn. Yeah. They learn to express themselves. They learn to be creative.
Yeah.
And that's, we need more creativity.
You know, I'm an advocate for that in my own work. And for me, the arts needs to be, just like the title of this program, essential, not extracurricular. And that has been what really drew me to you in the first place, is that shared passion to see things connected through the arts, that it's a language, that it connects people in ways that you can't with a conversation. It connects people in, and it taps a reciprocal passion that causes community. Would you agree?
I agree. Yeah. And if you don't act like arts are essential, they will think they're a frill. I can remember starting out and going to the legislature, and they just look at me like, oh, it's a frill.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I only want the same amount of money you give sports. Mm-hmm. It's all. Because mm-hmm. some children thrive in sports, like my own grandchildren, and some thrive in the arts. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I just wanted equality for us.
And you got it. Boy, did she get it. Tell me about your grandson. He is a sports champion, isn't he?
He's a lacrosse player, and
yeah.
you know, in Maryland, lacrosse is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I see sports, by the way, we did a TV show in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we had sports as a metaphor, and we used it in a music arts program. And we used it to engage human relations and how to get along with people, and it was really wonderful, so I totally relate to that. How important, and this is a big one, women in the world, women in business, women's rights, all these things that are so hot politically now. The beauty of you and your passion and your presence is so powerful because it's missing today. And I was going to ask you how important you feel wisdom is, wisdom that comes with age, and should be as vital to kids and as vital to community, quite frankly, to all of us, as the arts, wisdom.
Well, age, I'm sure, gives us wisdom. I don't know about the age, but wisdom is along with this passion and enthusiasm. You can't appreciate arts if you don't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, if it's a void, totally. How can a child audition to play an instrument if they've never seen it? And that's something we worked on with this. There's a middle school behind us that's a magnet school for the arts. And we established it, and it's wonderful. It was a failing school. And so we had a magnet, a system in music and poetry and dance, and it changed the school for the better. It scored higher than any middle school. And it took a long time to get it through the system. And people appreciate it. Now in Anne Arundel County, we have 2 arts magnet schools.
It grows, it grows.
It does, and it's important. Mm-hmm. And I used to have people call me and say, well, I hear you have an old high school. How'd you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the point is, the community did it. The artists and all the political leaders got together and decided it was worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. And your nudge has a lot to do with things that happen.
Well, it was a lot of people's nudges. You gotta nudge, you gotta keep nudging for whatever you have a passion You do.
Yeah, well, you do it. You do it without stopping. I've seen you do it. What is your one hope at this point, and for the world, the community, the schools, our sense of ourselves? What is your one hope, if there is one, and where do you think you have helped the most, looking back and looking forward?
Well, you ask tough questions. My one hope is that every school has a curriculum that is rich in arts and equates it with math and science. Mm-hmm. The STEM schools are just wonderful in some of their art programs, some of the art that's created in these science schools now. So it just proves that everybody can benefit from the arts. That's my hope, mm-hmm. that we continue with this, mm-hmm. that we see the importance of developing creativity, whether it's in math or music. Mm-hmm.
Is Annapolis different than other places?
I probably think it is because it has such a rich history in the arts. And it was founded so early in this country. I mean, I went to the library in the middle of Annapolis that was an old 1747 tavern. And it was a wonderful public library. And that was converted. So preservation of your roots, so to speak, is really important.
Say more about that, because that's the historic part.
Well, I mean, George Washington came to Annapolis, and Thomas Jefferson, and there's a whole long list. It was actually a capital at one time. So that's important, and because this little town felt it was important, it stayed important. Mm-hmm. Even when all the growth went to Baltimore and other cities, it still held on to its early colonial importance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you love history equally, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, I just always loved it. Still love it. Mm-hmm.
What's next? What's next for you?
Oh, that's a tough question. I just got my tetanus shot for the next 10 years. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to enjoy the arts. And certainly during COVID, I read a lot. So there's a lot of reading to do, a lot of theater. But then I go back to the one thing. Live art matters. If you don't have it, if you don't see it live, I just love to see people's reaction when they experience a fantastic artistic moment. And they go, wow, I wish I could do that. And they probably could if they were trained.
And you know, it's funny you say that, because we have so much technology that everything is pre-taped and prefabricated and digitized and this, that, and the other thing, where it becomes less tactile. And my contention is that something happens between people in the live moment that cannot be replicated. And it's a bigger experience. It's part of that invisible power. To me, it's empowering, the moment that can't be repeated. You know, a live performance, like in a live musical performance, that you're not copying the album to make it sound just like the record, but you're actually allowing something new, especially in jazz, to come to play in a solo, for example. That's an experience that we're missing, because everything has become so formulated, don't you think?
I do think, but I think the reaction of the audience is important to the actor or the musician as anything else, and I love to watch their reaction. We actually had to train the middle school students on how to be a good audience.
Wow.
Because they didn't know. They hadn't gone to performances. Mm-hmm. And it was so wonderful to watch them. Mm-hmm. And they learned.
And as a little girl, when you had your dreams, have they all come true in this way? Did you ever dream you would have been the leader of the pack in so many different ways?
Never, ever. I would never have considered it. And there are so many schools now, high schools, beautiful modern high schools, that need good arts programs, or good art teachers, good human beings teaching this. So I'm an educator at heart, because education is where it's coming from.
Yeah. And I think educators are lovers of people. One parting message. Yeah, one.
Well, I hope that whoever watches this takes away the live art matters, that they realize that without live arts, live music, you know, it's a dismal world. It's a lot happening in the world, so they need some happy, and I think they get it from live art.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that this town gets it from Linnell Bowen, because her energy that moves around makes a lot of things shake out for the live arts here. And I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. And it's been such a pleasure to have her. I consider her a woman hero of our times, in the arts especially. And that's a gift, the presence of Linnell Bowen anywhere. So I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. I'm Susan Gabriel, yes, the Suze Muse. This has been another edition of Light Notes from the Suze Muse. So see you next time.
It is Soul Butter, a tiny talk about big things. Light Notes from the Suze Muse.